Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, August 18th, 2015, and this is our 279 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor, and return to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. And thank you, James from North Wales, for sponsoring the hours on Hello Earth for Michael. Everyone appreciates what you're doing, and thank you, and hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello. Well, nice to hear you're back, and nice and warm in Hawaii. It's warm here, that's good. A little too warm, got the air conditioning going, but it is August. And just before we started recording, I said I was speaking to this woman who's been asking. She said she listened, she looked at the site, and when I saw her yesterday, she said, "Who is Sharon?" And maybe I'll just ask you, Michael, to tell us who Sharon is.
The Shaharons are 12 in number. You might say they are very much the core of destiny guardians, you might say. They are tasked with, actually volunteered, and are tasked with a job, perhaps, if you want to call it a job, but the responsibility of helping guide the planet toward the ascent career. They are finaliters in their ascent career. They have gone the full measure from mortal to finaliter and have fused with their adjusters and have then come back to help with the responsibility, that responsibility of helping because of their experience in the mortal career. They help guide us. But they needed another voice than theirs, because they are not, their form that they've chosen to take is really the form, or their old, you might say, material form, their old body. That they have. They're humanoid, they're very much human in appearance, and stand about maybe 4 to 5 feet tall, kind of closely about the same height. They all dress in purple garb, beautiful, looks like a really nice, silky looking purple material. And they almost look like they're not walking on the ground when they walk. They look like they're kind of floating over the ground, which could be. And they all, I noticed when I was with them, they moved in a single file, you know, all lined up together. Huh. Yeah, and they're basically, you know, no rank, but I think they are always found together. They have the ability to transform or to be viewed according to the way they choose to be seen. Some people call that shape-shifting, but I don't choose that term because I really don't know if they are truly shape-shifting or just changing the perception because they have truly powerful telepathic abilities. And I mind shared with them to the point where I was able to use one of their hands, one of their individual's hands, and it actually touches head. Yeah, the head is highly developed in terms of what looks like their cranial vault into two major lobes, which would look like approximately twice the size of ours. And they were having a bald look, but their furrows in their brow, you know, like we have furrows in our brow, they continue right over the top of their head, so it makes their head look like their brains are outside of their head. And this is a little discussion I had because I kept saying, why? Their brains are outside. They kept hearing me say that in terms of my thought. And then finally just looked at me and says, our brains are not outside of our head. I said, can I touch your head? And he said, no. That was the immediate response for one of the ones that had basically told me that. And then I was kind of disappointed. And then one of them turned around and, well, actually not turned around, but turned toward me, focused his attention toward me and says, wait a moment, I can do this. So that's when I was able to share his mind, and therefore I was able to manipulate his hands as if it was my arm and hand, which I just extended as if I was feeling his head through my own arms, which is an amazing telepathic ability. And found out, yeah, his head kind of felt just like ours. Skull underneath, hard. But that's another important factor, too, is to understand that they are with body. They're not some, you know, spirit or ghost. They really have a physical body. And this is something that may be above our physical body, but they still have a body. But the kind of physical body may not be necessarily limited to our dimensional, you know, capability, you know, just stuck in this third dimensional plane.
You had mentioned that, or you said a moment ago that their cranial structure was twice the size of ours. Are you saying their head is twice as big as ours, or it's just the forehead?
Yeah. No, take your skull in your... Take your skull, okay. Now, let's say you got another one, just like yours, and you put it on the side of your head, and then shifted your face over directly under the two lobes. Now, you have one skull, right? It's one big bump over your head, right? Nice cranial vault. Let's say you were to double that in size. So now you got two. Place them both side by side, two cranial vaults, with the center section, you know, having a center clevis, and then putting that directly over your head. Have a same human face, except you got these two bulbous.
My gosh.
Bulbous head. And
so I wear a 7.5-inch hat, so you're saying if I had to get a hat, it'd have to be a 15-inch hat?
Probably.
I see. That's a big head.
They have a big head, yeah. They have a big head. And the way it's constructed is very different from the conical head. The long... The other guys who had these conical or long extended head, you know. Yeah, they were different. They didn't have as much telepathic ability. Their heads sort of represented very much the similar kinds of head we find on planet. you know, the distorted, elongated skulls. But the Shaharuns are different in that they don't have the elongation the same way. They're kind of bulbous, you know, more bulbous in feature, having a, rather than a conical skull, they have a bulbous skull.
So the conical head didn't have the telepathic ability?
No. They're much closer to what we are. In fact, I think their level of being human is very closely aligned to the point that they had to have breathing apparatuses around me because they didn't want to catch my cold, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. They wanted to make sure they didn't get any of the microbes that I had. But they had done some other checks and on myself. But the Shaharuns are highly telepathic. I never ever spoke to them in terms of audibly. It was always telepathically.
With the Shaharuns?
Yes.
And now that you're here, you speak with them both ways?
Telepathically, yes. And I mind share, that's how they come through.
Mm-hmm.
They share my mind. And this is some of the arrangement that had to be done at the New Jerusalem in order to accomplish this, was to have the entanglement between my, you might say, brain and theirs, which resulted in that mind-sharing ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's who they are. They're real people. So far, I haven't spoken to all of them, because most of them just observed. They're very stern in many times their observation, you know. I found the one that let me feel his head was very friendly in his personality. Others seemed like, analyzing me. So see how this guy reacts or what does he do, you know.
And you still call them real people even if they have these big heads and don't and only speak telepathically, which we don't do that.
That's people. Once you get to know them, yeah, they're people because their personality and they're not monsters, you know, people. And that's where we have to realize we are on a ascent career to become as they are. In fact, the answer of our purpose in life was to become as I was the highest of all beings in this solar system. I got that answer from, and it was from a Veranda deck, Most High. And you would say it's the closest thing to God there in our solar system. Because they're position in as observers are the only ones that are able to interact by their own volition on the affairs of the human race, because the human race has been, you know, misguided, deceived, and nearly had their destiny stolen, they're guided gently in a way in which allows for what is that you might call a type of evolutionary or evolving into perhaps a new and unique race of being that will actually replace many of the angelics who did follow the wrong path, which was one in which blocked our higher destiny. You know, we have that higher destiny. The right has been, by the Shaharuns himself trying to give us insight, really said the insight for ascension is the right of every human being on planet Earth to make that choice to ascend higher than the human and to the level of divine and actually attain a level of divinity through a type of finality in ascension, which includes the fusion. Now, that may end up making a person, you know, not necessarily have to descend toward having the kind of physical body that we do, but as far as the Shaharuns, they descended to that point where they're back in a point of being able to interact, perhaps train individuals such as myself in the affairs of the celestial career. Celestial career is what was and is our destiny, much higher career than we have right now. And that is something that in our living, if we have that in mind, a higher celestial career that includes what we know now in terms of our life experience, wealth and wisdom, the wealth of living that we have is full of challenges, our earthly, you might say, challenges. And these various challenges of vicissitudes of living actually bring about the development of our unique personality and the value of our soul, you might say, the very part of us that will never perish unless we choose to allow it to be as if it never were. This is the point in which their responsibility is extremely important. They look at us as hopefuls and have been saddened because so many times in their desire to help us along, we've made mistakes and have turned into monsters, you know, man's inhumanity to man. And that is because of a misunderstanding of the human ascent career, past the mortal human through the scaffolding of the human body to interface with our environment, with others, socially, interactive with them in living, becoming a civilized being, and then ascending toward the divine characters and divine natures through the accommodation made that we make, actually, that accommodation we make within our own hearts and minds and living for the divine fractal to share in the consult of our decision-making, our enjoyment, our living. And by so doing, we give the divine nature our nature, and through that shared experience, we attain actual personality attributes of the divine nature. And those personality attributes have a lot to do with the extrasensory abilities that the divine nature possesses. And those extrasensory things give us perhaps a greater hope and motivation toward attaining full fusion or full divinity attainment. These are the individuals there. The Shaharuns are there to help us and have shared in our education and shared in mind, and many times by mindal or telepathic means, influence and guide us, guide many. They don't necessarily, you know, by force take over or have mind control. They have ways of offering to us the higher road. You know, they offer it to us in a way that says, it's my choice and I will choose that higher road. Or it's not for me now, you know, I'm really busy into this, you know, this party I got to go through, and, you know, that's not for me now. And that's many times their frustration, because there's a lot of people that keep saying, that's not for me right now, you know, and they're stuck in their activities on planet and never really make the investment necessary to enrich themselves with the wealth of the divine nature. Yeah.
Michael, when you say that the Shaharons are the closest thing to God, you mean closest thing to communicate with God?
No, it was not the Shaharons. It was the Vorondadek Most High Observer.
Oh, they're the closest thing to God.
Closest thing to the level and authority of the Creator Son God. They've been placed within our solar system. The Vorondadek Most Highs were placed there as observers because the planet and this sector of the local system of Satania fell under rebellion and had distorted the destiny plan for all of, you know, the sentient life. And that sentient life, included us, was being robbed of our higher destiny. Essentially, they had tried to make themselves, not the Vorondadek, but the fallen sector, tried to become gods unto themselves without loyalty toward the first source and center and the universe government. And this rebellion resulted in being cut off from the circuits of life that would normally bring a planet into a position of real understanding of the purpose of life and living, and would have put our planet on a truly everlasting course of divinity attainment. It would have been a shining symbol of that. But because of that, the Vorondadek were put in to that position of observing and primarily looking for self-destruction because of the factors of the nature of the animal tends to move in that direction because of the primal forces of self-preservation. And those base forces of, I guess you might say, characteristics of life were necessary at a lower animal level. But once gaining sentience, the human being is destined for a much higher level of living, and you might say vocation. And that vocation being, you know, being participants and actual constructors as universe builders under the universe creator himself. So there's a lot more construction, you might say, to take place. It's not, you know, limited, and it's not finished. And its actual development is not a rubber stamp to some other universe. It is going to be unique and made up of beings who have been run through the mill, you might say, tested and affirmed, not only in loyalty, but in true divine nature and destiny. So again, when we view that life career, and we see that the individual's life career has been such that have made many choices that have to do with the longevity and purpose that goes up to a value that is, that can be preserved and that has value in a universe of, you might say, eternal structure, then that individual becomes highly valued. And that's where we settle at. We settle at that position of being highly valued. If we realize the true riches are not held up in somebody else, it's already invested inside of us through the divinity that has been implanted within every individual that gives them the right to define ascent and attainment. It's not something that is, you know, that's why people go around in life and when they find, wow, whether it be, you know, they find the truth, and the truth has made them free. And a wonderful thing is that Jesus Christ, the universe creator, the Son of the living God, who can be your personal Lord and Savior, will present you as a guided divine son, if you so choose. And he will assign higher level beings, such as the Shaharuns, or lower, or others that will actually be, you know, much, much better to have than just yourself, to guide you to the higher realms of truth. Many of which gain personal experience in the mortal career without being mortal by participating in your life. And you find them extremely valuable because they extend to you a perspective and viewpoints that help preserve you from, you know, injury, preserve your life, and actually help direct your life toward good success. And there is no good thing that would be withheld from you if you follow that. It's all good things that will be allowed to fill your life because it is for that purpose that you have been given such a guide. But in order to have such a assistant and help, the divine, from the divine level, these other beings, you've got to make certain choices. And one of them, first of all, is to make room in your heart that the divine fractal can outstretch his arms into your life. And as was said by the Shaharuns in one of his words, was to profuse you with divinity within you, actually make you divine, a new creature, a new being. And that is takes personal choice and will to give room in your life for that, so that you're consciously aware that you're living your life for that purpose of divine ascent, the divine career and partnership between yourself and the divine, and moving along, because the universe, for a civilization never to be destroyed, is held together by a miraculous love. And this love is this perfused reality, higher level of being that we've got to learn. We have many things which are natural, but they have limits. When you look at the marriage career today, the more people get divorced than stay married. You know, it's it's because the desire to attain that higher level of divine nature gets distorted with the daily or the earthly concept of living, which may include many of the things that weigh down a person's thought, decision making, and those are all the challenges that enrich a person's life when they overcome, and maybe not necessarily overcome, but make choices to continue down the divine path. And that also includes not necessarily choosing to be a monk in some remote cave up in a mountain or something like that. It is to live in the society that we have today and then contribute to it in a way that can bring divinity's hand tangibly into society. And that's why they want to use us as instruments, not themselves. Why should they? They already have it. They already attained it. They want to teach it to us. Therefore, the best way in learning is by doing. And some of the mistakes they'll allow to happen, but many of them, if they are very, very dangerous and deadly, they'll stop them. This is where the Most Highs of Rondanic observers may be looking for some serious things that are happening on planet, but we have under them our own observers and actuators their protective will and nature over us, and actually make way for good choices and good blessings. These blessings or happinesses are a way in which they strategically allow us to make wise choices. First of all, that's one of the interesting things about the sources of these things are to have that additional aid. It's not always stuck in our own hands or an observable area. That's pretty much the animal. We have to rise above the animal. When you look at something as plain as, a fruit, low-hanging fruit, and decide that that's your means to that, but the divine one would say, you might see this as low-hanging fruit, but why don't you take only the seed? It's easier to carry that many miles to your plant, to your home, your next home. And so being, you now be able to plant. And that's how many of the kinds of fruit trees that are in Hawaii came about, because the Chinese and whoever came and brought the seed of their fruit, preserving it, and then were able to plant and tend their favorite fruit here, and ended up with having these many exotic, delicious fruits that have come here, like the mango, So these things are brought over. In a similar sense, that's a level of higher mindedness than simply just eating the fruit and forgetting about it.
So the Shaharons, you said it's their responsibility and they're here to help us.
Yeah, their responsibility is to try to help us in the ascent career. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not for them to tear down. They may allow certain tearing down to happen if you're going absolutely the wrong way. But if we've made the choice to ascend, there may be the need for going through the mill, you might say the polishing point. And that polishing may mean chipping away some of the less important parts of our character, which may only be necessary for the animal, the maintenance of the animal career, or the natural man, or the physical body. Even for, you know, some ideas of what would be a nice home and a nice place may be too much for a person to be involved with right away. Everything in its timing, too, will be something that is also offered and well understood. Eventually, you become more and more understanding.
Is this why they produced the Urantia book, if I could say produced? To create our higher level enlightenment.
Because what had happened with the religions of the world was the distortion through human culture and human tradition. And because of that, the purpose became more of a favored or chosen. Now, when it comes down to, you know, like your guardian angel, let's say you have a celestial who is that has been assigned to you. That celestial was not assigned to you against his will. It was chosen. He chose you. So there is a type of divine choice that is made. You are chosen. You didn't choose me, I chose you. That's a matter of even what Tan said to my wife. He said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." And that's something that they will want to say. You know, they have that right to choose who they will help. And you can always ask, "Choose me." I need help. Choose me. Oh, yeah, okay. One of my agreements was that I would help if they would help. That was agreed. That was something hard to do. Mm-hmm. And they would never cause me to do something or ask me to do something far beyond what I'm actually naturally capable of doing. Yeah.
And you had no idea what they really had in mind at the time.
I didn't know. I had some concept of something being out of this world. Mm-hmm. But it was really entirely having to do with trying to bring traction of the celestial truth onto the plane of our planetary life, and have it being easily... I guess you might say easily understood, easily lived with, to the point where that is just the way it is. It's not something esoteric, you know, like many of the religions of the world try to create esoteric destinies that are special knowledge. No, this is just a choice. Now, how you get there and all the little details, don't worry about. They'll be filled in through your life experience as you make yourself ready to receive the ever more wonderful guidance that will take place.
Well, these chaperones don't stand that tall, but they sound extremely amazing. Although the veranda deck most high, are they as real as the chaperones?
I would say they're more ethereal because they're radiant. They're made out of light.
Oh,
you know. The radiance is, luminescence is what they look like, although they can change themselves to a glowing human figure. Cool, absolutely beautiful. Can you imagine an ice carving of a person? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say that was a block of ice. Mm-hmm. So that block of ice is this beam or column of light. And the guy goes chip, chip, chip away, and then he makes a statue of a person. You can see right through him. But you know, when the ice gets to melt a bit and gets that smooth appearance, they allow that, they want that to happen in their carving, and you look at it. It looks so beautiful, yeah? And if it has a certain tinge to the ice, the kind of color, it adds to it. Well, that's kind of the idea of them taking a human form so that we can understand it, can relate to their. But they don't, they're not like solid, physical body. Uh-huh. They're not limited to that. The Virandadiks are absolutely faithful. Never have they turned away that the devil went. Devil was a second order under the Virandadiks. And he decided that he wanted to receive worship. Actually stole the destiny, tried to steal the destiny, and literally tried to distort our destiny away from us. Because in every human being is the natural man that is of this planet. It's not something that was absolutely imported into the planet. We have the element of being actually created by the first source and center under the evolutionary process of the planetary environment of Earth, Urantia. And then maybe other things might have happened later. But in that is the reason that we are capable of absorbing and functioning with the divinity fractal, the thought adjuster. Yeah. And without that, we could have if it didn't come that way, we could have not had that privilege, you might say.
I don't know, could you describe that again? If it didn't come that way,
if we were not part of the Earth itself, okay, coming from the planet Earth itself. Which means that we were actually part of the creative process that is of Earth. And essentially, by having it that way, we are partly created by the first source, actual creations of the unique hand of God, which is the entire evolutionary process of the universe.
Oh, so you're saying we came from the Earth.
We came from the Earth, although we may
because not, we were born here on this Earth. Is that
and
what you mean?
And yeah, and then allowed to not just born, our genetics, our type, mm-hmm, allows for the interface between divinity and ourselves in the divine fractal or thought adjuster, fragment of God, fragment of the first source. Mm-hmm. Without that, we may be like some of the celestials who try to come and try to figure us out, who have lost their way, mm-hmm, and maybe kind of wondering what is it that we have over them that has displaced them and their destiny. In other words, their destiny is lost. Uh-huh. They don't have the high destiny that we have. They cannot rob it away from us because we're guarded already. We're a guarded species. And they, our natural living is our solid core of a solid badge of honor, you might say, that we are able to keep in our ascent career. But if it wasn't for the fact that we were from this planet, maybe taking a similar form to many others from other systems, but truly having the divine creative hand in our creation, we may not have had the problem actually of nearly having our destiny robbed away from us by that other lower creation. It came from the order of Lanandandek sons, which are another level of being of a vibratory reality. They're light also, but you might say more spirit, but having a one area of freedom, latitude, that allowed them to go to the point of thinking of themselves more than fellow servants with us. In fact, they never considered us fellow servants. And this is a big difference. And there are others, of course, who are of that order that, you know, will never understand why these others decided and chose to go their own path away from truth into the path of, you might say, rebellion, you know, trying to create another universe, you might say, you know, universe on their own, you know, galactic. I'm talking about galactic right now. I'm looking at many of the volcanisms, the numbers of hurricanes, weather phenomenon, the volcanism, and the kind of behaviors in the psychic nature of humanity being unstable, and noticing that these are some of the results that have to do with us moving into the present galactic plane, or because we're crossing the galactic plane right now, and that galactic plane is really kind of a danger zone. Because that's like our, you know, how the formation of the behavior and the formation of our solar system and stuff, it planar in design. So that's where the energies sort of, you know, come outside in terms of a disc-like structure. So we're crossing right through that. And there are high energies that are flowing and actually influencing the space weather as well as our own weather, and weather in some of the other planets also. So these things are all going to be observed. So I'd just like to see what we could just put our you know, personal radar up and make sure that we pay attention to these things.
Yeah. That we're crossing the galactic plane right now?
Oh, yes. It's going to be a while as we continue to move through it. Mm-hmm. Very sharp, but it's still quite a long distance. See, the planet kind of oscillates up and down through the plane, the galactic plane. I'm not sure what the cycle is. I forgot what it was. It's thousands and tens of thousands of years of it. But it's been repetitive. It's as many influences. So we've got to keep looking at that. One of the problems we also can get through that is pole shifts. Pole shifts as well, pole reversals. Right now, our planet has two north poles and two south poles. So that's kind of a strange phenomena. Also, the movement is happening, of the poles is happening quite rapidly. So these things, but looking at what happens on our planet in terms of the kind of, right now we're looking at, Hawaii just missed two hurricanes aimed straight at it. And they came one after another, and then now there's two hurricanes aiming straight at Taiwan. The typhoons are very strong. These things are just generating through quite a lot more. And earthquakes are getting much more numerous. Volcano warnings are out for Japan. Those kinds of things are also happening.
And Japan's starting up their nuclear reactor at this time.
The one active reactor that's running is the one that the volcano warning is on, that down below that volcano. So they're saying, don't start it up. It was just warming it up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Figuring out what's wrong or what still doesn't work.
Well, it works. They turned it down.
Oh, they turned it down?
Yeah, they turned down all the reactors. Yeah. So they were thinking about turning down back up. Many of them, but that one's right below that volcano. They just got a warning. It's going to pop its top. Yeah. It's been swelling quite considerably. That has been measured to the point where the warning needs to go out.
Well, they're getting terrible weather. That part of the world, those two typhoons heading toward the Philippines, I was just looking at them a moment ago. They're huge, and they're right on the same longitude. Strange. Doesn't look natural.
Mm-hmm.
But getting back to this, the veranda deck most high, that's, are these columns of light, did you witness that while you were there? Did you witness them? You did.
Yes, it's a high privilege, an extremely, extremely high privilege to have been in the presence of the veranda deck most high observers. This was the secret place of the most high. It's essentially the closest thing you might come to God in our solar system. The only one that would overrule that presence and authority would be Jesus Christ himself. And because of the nature of how things work, these veranda deck most highs have been left in charge of the safekeeping of, you might say, his home planet of mortal origin. So they're even more concerned. And then one of the interesting things, there are many visitors from various parts of the universe that come over, various parts of Satania, the local system, that come over to visit and get educated here in the system right here, our solar system. And it's for the advancement of the fallen sector, the fallen system.
fallen system?
Yeah, we are part of the fallen system of Satania.
Oh.
Over 600 planets. This is the part that was semi-explained to me, you know, in terms of why it's partly true that he's in the wrong place, like Satan's lair. You know, Satan's lair is the whole system. Earth is one part of it, but he has been deposed already, put down, and his rule is made invalid, except for anyone who chooses to come under his power. And then he has many other beings of higher level that have fallen, that have not been taken away and imprisoned, and that will gladly work with any human mortal. And this is where many of the problems on planet come from, because although the celestial ascent career, or ascent career, divinity ascent career, is offered to anyone, all human beings, on the opposite end, there's also this that is being offered, or temptations, you might say, offered by the other guys. And they have considerable ability to further their cause by, you know, leading people's lives. Eventually, you see the lives of these individuals get paid a dear price sometimes. But it's never to the point where they have no ability to return to the divine career and turn their backs on the Luciferian lie. That lie can always, any individual can turn their back on that lie and freely move back onto the ascent career, gaining in perhaps there that particular choice a lot of wisdom and insight.
So you said this, the Satan layer,
mm-hmm.
they'll work with human mortals, and they're working with human mortals on this planet now. It's just the, seems to be the evil part of the human being.
Not everything is under their guidance. You know, there's a lot of what would be kind of the rough edges of humanity that are really all to do with humans being motivated by the base animal nature, the more beastly nature, and you know, that, you know, concept of revenge, retribution, all of that kind of stuff, feuding and all that is from the animal nature. It's not necessarily from the fallen nature of the Luciferian doctrine, the teaching that came from Lucifer. The ascent career is filled with victory, one over the other, of many, 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 many joys, but also some very hard times in which, you know, our character has to be honed, chipped, cut, fractured even, until it becomes able to function smoothly with the divine nature. And that sometimes takes a whole lifetime, and maybe even more, to attain.
More than a lifetime.
More than a lifetime sometimes. Because some of that has to do with really only being having a purpose for this lifetime, for the mortal life. You know, putting it in its proper place is an important factor. You know, never should a person raise the priorities of living a mortal life over once they make the choice of the divine ascent career, over that career, over that divine ascent career, because you just don't graduate that way. You have to make choices away from that which is not necessary. And many times, a lot of the entrapments of life's vanity is really unimportant. I remember thinking, wow, this place is really plain. You know, it's very clean, but it doesn't have a lot of stuff in it. And I'm talking about the New Jerusalem. Maybe it needs more decoration from us, I don't know. But right now, the way I could see it was just in a stage of growth and absolutely getting, you know, bigger and bigger, but not necessarily being filled with art and decor. I did see art being created. In fact, that was where I learned about how materials are made there, are grown. And the art, the guy was fabricating something. He was fabricating a sculpture. Yeah. But it didn't look like much at the time. But it was a sculpture that he was at the baseline creating, the heavy, you know, looked like a bulbous kind of big, huge boulder that he was making out of what looked like pure pearl. Yeah. That would be something to see, a boulder-sized pearl, but that's what it was. But it wasn't perfectly round. It was kind of lumpy all over the place. He was in the beginning stage of making a sculpture. He was considered an artist. They love what they do. Yeah.
So, a moment ago you said we are part of the fallen system. Did you mean a fallen system of planets?
Yeah, system of planets. There are 620 something planets.
600 what?
20 or so, 20, 30, 630 or so. We're 606 in the numbering scheme of the planets.
606.
Yeah.
That's the number of our planet, 606?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think you've ever mentioned that before.
Well, you can find that in the Yerancha book. I don't necessarily worry about that because all of this stuff is in the Yerancha book. Those details you can find in the Yerancha book. Yeah.
I see. Well, this has been another amazing time listening to what you've had to say about being out there and being with the Shaharons and being privileged enough to meet the Virandadek Most High. And that's how you refer to them, Virandadek Most High.
Right. And they basically said the purpose of life, all life, your life, is to become as I am. Mm-hmm. Or I become as I. So the concept of attaining that level of finality is truly a great ascent, you know, moving from material mortal to a being of light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My second question wasn't answered by him. He wouldn't take the question, which was, how? How?
How?
How? Yeah.
Big answer.
Yeah. Even the Dana looked at me, and he kind of didn't answer it. Of course, now I understand why. Everyone is a little different, mm-hmm. and we discover the how as we go along the path of choices.
Well, this is a long path we're taking, I guess, but we're moving in the right direction all the time, and I'm glad we have the guidance of your guidance and the Shaharons, that they value us so much. I'm so glad they value us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they feel we're precious. That's terrific. And I'm glad they're out there and making their presence known a little bit at a time. Well, thank you, Michael, and thank you, Shaharons, for listening in and participating with what Michael had to say today. And meeting the Varana Dex, that must have been a mind-altering experience for you.
Yeah.
To meet people of light.
Yeah. It is an extremely rare thing to have had that experience.
Yeah. Extremely rare. Very rare.
Extremely rare, yeah. In the Bible, go look in the Bible, the secret place of the Most High.
Look That's in where the Bible?
Yeah. And so it must have been others who went to the secret place of the Most High.
And that's to look for the secret place?
It's the secret place of the Most High, Varana Dex Observer.
Oh.
Yeah. And it says those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Those who are in the secret place of the Most High go under the shadow of the Almighty. It's just a way of putting it to say that you're very close to God. And those, if you're mingling with such beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, thank you.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha till next time. See you.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.